Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of Mobile Podcast. Mobile Podcast gives you exclusive insights into the major public interest issues affecting the mobile telecommunications industry. I'm your host, Simon Clark, and in this edition, we'll speak with University of Texas Health Science Center Associate Professor Vijay Lakshmi about possible connections between mobile phone emissions and genetic mutation. We'll also talk about health and safety research in the developing world. Dr. Vijay Lakshmi is one of the most active scientists in the radio frequency research community. She's completed more than 85 research papers so far. Vijay is best known for her work on substances and other factors that might lead to genetic mutations, with specific interest in the effect radiation has on the chromosomes of mammals. After completing her PhD in South India, she worked for the Indian Medical Research Council. She also received a fellowship from the WHO for advanced training in cytogenetics at the Human Genetics Institute in Scotland. Only recently, Vijay was elected treasurer of the prestigious Bioelectromagnetic Society on the back of 14 years of research with the University of Texas. Mobile Podcast is honoured to have Dr. Vijay Lakshmi as our guest. Vijay, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And if we can start, Vijay, by asking, what is the concern about the effect of emissions from mobile phones and how they might affect the genes of mammals?
The main concern at the moment for anybody who uses mobile phones is its effect in brain, because mobile phones are held very close to the head. So one would have concern about the possible emissions from mobile phones on the brain. And brain is the most important organ which coordinates all bodily functions in the body, physiological functions. So the mobile phones, since they emit the radiation which is non-ionizing, but still people are concerned about its effect in on brain and also on the physiological process of the body. All physiological processes are controlled by genes. So in turn, mobile phone effect could have the emissions from mobile phones could have an effect on the genes, which controls the physiological functions of the body.
And on the basis of your knowledge and your study so far, and your knowledge of what else has been going on in the field, do you think mobile phone users should be worried?
The most important concern for users will be whether it affects the carcinogenic process, that is, whether it affects the incidence of brain cancers. And also, since brain controls all cognitive functions as well as physiological functions, whether the mobile phone use will have effect on cognitive functions like sleep induction or muscle coordination or any bodily function, whether it will have an effect. That is the most concern the people have now, especially brain cancer.
Do you think the evidence is in yet, though? Is there any definite conclusion that can be drawn?
Based on the previous reports from Scandinavian countries, the international organizations have started an interphone study mainly to look at the brain cancers in mobile phone users. The results are not yet out, but there were 14 countries who participated in the interphone study. Some of the individual nations who participated in this study, they have published their findings. But the summarized, all data from all participants are being coordinated, and the manuscript is right now as we speak in the preparation, and also it should be in the final stages for publication.
And from your knowledge, Vijay, sorry to cut across like that, but just do you have any notion of what those findings might be?
The reports from individual countries shows no effect, especially when people are using for about 5 years. There were some indications in some of the data that there might be an increased incidence if the phone users are using death if people are using for more than 10 years. But it still has not been confirmed by the final meta-analysis of the Interphon study, which is now under preparation.
More broadly then, within your field, what do you think the overall weight of evidence is saying about the genetic effects from radio frequency fields?
My expertise is in genetic toxicology. I have done my own studies as well as reviewed the literature in 2004. And I just completed a meta-analysis of all the data published in 63 during the years 1990 to 2005. The manuscript is right now is accepted for publication in Radiation Research, and I'm waiting for the proofs to be corrected before the final manuscript, my final paper is printed in the journal. The most interesting conclusion I have drawn is that mobile phones in general have no effect on genetic toxicology. That means they have significant increase in genotoxicity in the cells, animals, and humans exposed to mobile phone radiation. The most interesting thing is that even if you take the incidence of genotoxicity index in radio frequency radiation exposed cells, animals, and humans, the incidences are all within the spontaneous levels that are reported in a large database from healthy human individuals. So whatever we individual investigators might have observed a significant increase in mobile phone radiation exposed cells compared to control cells, but all these indices are well within the normal ranges that are reported in a large database from healthy human individuals.
Well, that should be reassuring for people who use mobile phones, shouldn't it?
Yes. Individual studies, there might be a significant increase between exposed and controlled cells, but even those exposed cells, the indices are well within the spontaneous levels in healthy human beings. So that is very, very interesting observation that came out of this meta-analysis of 63 publications during the years 1990 to 2005.
Can I move on to the European Union's Reflex Research Program? There's a lot of controversy about the results of that study, and particularly given the large number of studies which have found no genetic effects from mobile phone emission. Can you explain the contradictory results there have been?
Yes, I have gone through the research program from Reflex report. The studies, especially the gene tox studies, were conducted in two centers. One is in Vienna in Austria and another in Berlin in Germany. I had an opportunity to visit both centers from the invitation from Adelkofer, who was the program coordinator. I spent a week in each of these cities. I had discussions with these groups in Austria and in Berlin and in Germany. But the thing is that the cells were supplied by the Vienna group were tested and experimented in Italy as well as in another center in Germany. Both of those centers, the group in Italy as well as the group in Ulm, they couldn't reproduce the results of Reflex project. So the controversy is still there, but one has to depend on the replication studies. It's easy to publish a finding, but the strength of those findings comes from replication and confirmatory studies. And that has not been done, that has not been forthcoming from Reflex program.
So that raises, doesn't it, this whole issue of the importance of methodology and the design of individual studies. Where does replication of studies fit into all this?
Replication studies and our confirmatory studies are extremely important in scientific investigations. the strength of the original investigations comes from the replication and confirmatory studies. And to do this, you have to describe your methods and the design of the experiments in detail in publications. Some of the publications in the literature, they don't give enough details in methods used in the laboratory and also exposure system used and the design. So it is very difficult to replicate in an individual, in a separate independent laboratory. But with respect to reflex program data, the same cells were used in Italy, the same cells were used in Ulm in Germany, but both those centers could not replicate the results from this from Vienna group.
That seems to imply that there's quite a bit more additional work that needs to be done.
Yes, usually it is in a way boring for independent researchers to just go through the previous original study. Most of the confirmatory studies and replication studies have a little bit of better design, better methodology and things like that. So one has to think that replication studies would be, the data from replication confirmatory studies would be more important in terms of reliability.
And for mobile phone users, just in summary on this issue, is it a case that the jury is still out and really people just need to take a sensible approach to the use of their mobile phones?
The most important thing is the weight of evidence. For any issue, the weight of evidence, especially in science, is important. And the weight of evidence shows that so far, the majority of the studies have no genotoxic effects from mobile phone emissions. And even if there was a slight increase in individual investigations, they are all within the normal levels observed in healthy human beings.
Thank you for that. And can we now move on to another area that's of particular interest for you, I think, and that's science in developing nations. Do you have a message for national authorities in developing nations? What do you see as the biggest problem with mobile communications in the developing world?
In terms of developing world, most of the countries, there are no recommended limits, exposure limits, as recommended by ICNIRP or IEEE or NRPB. And I think it is very important that the developing nations should be online with these exposure limits, so that there will be a uniform exposure limits for all individuals using mobile phones. That's where the developing nations should work for, to harmonize their most of them do not have a recommended limits, but I think it is worth looking into and formulate the concerned authorities to have ICNIRP or IEEE and NRPB exposure limits to reassure the people who are using mobile phones.
Now, I'm a layperson, and you mentioned some acronyms and abbreviations for organisations there. Can you spell them out? Can you tell us exactly who the bodies are that should be setting these standards?
Yes. ICNIRP is International Commission for Exposures for Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection. And IEEE is the standard set by Institute of Electrical Electronic Engineer Association. And NRPB is a British organization. It is National Radiological Protection Board. So these are the most, these three organizations have very eminent engineers and scientists who are working together to produce a document which recommends the exposure limits for humans.
And from your professional knowledge, do you believe those standards set by those three bodies to be adequate for a prudent approach to this issue?
So far, the individual international organizations, especially the International Commission for Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, they do not see any change. They do not see any need to change the recommended levels because they are adequate for protecting the human beings. I think there is a little bit of difference between exposure limits that are set by the International Commission for Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, which is based in Germany, and also Institute of Electrical and Electronic Engineers that's based in US. But they are working very hard together to harmonize all these three agencies to have the same or very similar exposure limits for human beings.
You've been particularly active, I think, in promoting the adoption of such standards and regulation in India. What sort of a response have you had there?
They are moving diligently to have these recommendations set up in the Indian context, because as you know, India is more than 1 billion population, and majority of them are now using cell phones. So they do have the people who are using mobile phones in India have the same sort of concerns as in elsewhere. So it is important to have India follow the recommendations of international organizations to reassure the people in India to have these recommended safety limits so that they will be more relaxed and assured about the safety limits. So in that respect, I think India should move forward to how to adopt these international exposure safety guidelines.
Now, if I can turn to your recent election to a leadership position in the Bioelectromagnetics Society, do you believe that societies like that one can help promote a scientific approach in developing nations?
Yes, certainly. I have been very active in Bioelectromagnetic Society. I served on as a member of the board of directors for 3 years, and recently I have been elected as a treasurer as well. That shows that I've been very active in Bioelectromagnetic Society. And these societies are extremely important. It not only disseminates the scientific information but also gives an opportunity to set up collaborative investigations between independent investigators, not only in one country but between countries. It will give an opportunity for an extensive collaborative efforts on part of scientists from all over the world.
Well, Vijay, that's all really important work, and I'd like to thank you for being on the program with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on Mobile Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mobile Podcast would like to thank Dr. Vijayalakshmi for giving up her time to appear on our program. We'd also like to thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the fourth episode produced in January 2008. Mobile Podcast will be available for download regularly at www.nmfai.org/mobilepodcast or www.gsmworld.com/health. Mobile Podcast is made available for download by the Mobile Manufacturers Forum and the GSM Association. The information contained on this podcast is provided for general information purposes only and does not purport to offer legal, health or any other professional advice. Where reference is made to a company or a specific commercial product or service, howsoever referred, no endorsement or recommendation is implied or intended. The views expressed are those of the speakers alone and do not necessarily represent those of the Mobile Manufacturers Forum or GSM Association. All guests have volunteered their time to help promote an open discussion of the issues addressed.